Blog Talk Radio.
JoeDanMedia.com.
Agree with that. Believe me, I'm not in a very good mood today, so if I go on a rant, you'll have to forgive me. But when you cover issues of Islam, does it really ever leave you in a fantastic mood? I don't think it does it? But anyway, welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kelford C. I want to talk to you about a few things today. A few things really annoying me. Again, Islam. I want to talk about the attitude within Islam in particular today, because it was funny that I had been reading these articles and looking at the videos, and I was wondering to myself, what is this? Like, what exactly is going on with Islam in the West? And I thought, they want their Sharia law, they want their Sharia courts, they want the holidays in the public schools, and I'm getting to that in a minute too. They want this. They want that. They demand this. They demand that. If you deny them anything, they make a lot of noise. They run to CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations. Yeah, they just bang those drums left, right, and center, upside down, sideways to Sunday. It all comes down to their attitude. They have a real superiority complex, these Islamists. Very, very, very big egos, this bunch. They feel entitled. They have a sense of entitlement. And they also try to throw us that they are living under victimhood. I'm a victim. I'm a religious minority. I'm being victimized. I'm not getting my rights. Where are my rights? Where are my rights? They have every right afforded to them in the West, wherever they live. They are afforded the same rights and privileges that we are afforded. They are not treated any worse than any of us under the eye of the law and within the human condition of decency within our society. But they still make these demands. They want this. They want that. They want exemptions. We deserve this. We deserve that. For goodness sake, what is it over there in England? Who's that? Ajim Chowdhury. Disproportionate amount of Muslims on welfare. But they're entitled. Because according to Ajim Chowdhury, it's a jizya tax that we're paying them. So they're entitled, yeah. Do you remember those days long ago? Welfare was supposed to be a hand up. It's nothing more than a handout these days. If you're on welfare, you're almost proud of it. Well, they certainly are. They don't feel any compunction to go out and get a job, this disproportionate amount. And it's not just relegated to Islamists. I know there's a lot of so-called communities out there who relish in the welfare state. But this is an example, the attitude. We have a case going on here in Canada, Quebec, the Quebec province, the malcontent province, we call it, because it's always making noise. It's always threatening to separate from Canada, and they make a lot of noise. Well, they have a party, the Parti Québécois, and the leader of that party, and I can never pronounce her name, but it's Maurice, I believe. It's M-O-R-I-O-S, Maurice. I'm not too sure how to pronounce her name. I don't even try. I do not speak French. But they have put this proposal forward that they're going to ban all religious garb within public schools, courtrooms, anywhere in the public sector. You will not be served, for example, either. If you show up wearing a hijab or niqab, you will not get service. So they're trying to get rid of these overt symbols of religiosity. I can see right through that. They're doing nothing more. It's a big, huge red herring in my eye. Essentially, what the province of Quebec is trying to do is eliminate Islamic religious garb. But because they cannot really come out and say that, every religion gets thrown under the bus. Are people upset about it? The majority are not. The majority feel that, well, religion is a personal issue and it should be kept in the church or the synagogue. I will not say mosque because, you know, I do not consider Islam a religion anyway, and mosques are nothing more than jihadi training grounds. But a lot of people think, you know, well, yeah, leave it at home. Leave it in the church. We don't need to see it walking down the street either. We don't need to see it when we go into the bank to make a deposit or withdraw our money. We don't need to see it when we go to, renew our driver's license. So a lot of people aren't really bent out of shape over it. But, of course, there are certain groups that are. The Muslims and the Sikhs in particular are rather upset over this. The Sikhs, not so much. They're not being too loud. They're kind of grumbling a little bit, like, you know, well, what am I going to do? I mean, I have to wear my turban. So I can see that being an issue for them because the turban is indeed part of their religious obligation. But within the Muslim society, the niqab is not a religious requirement. But they are really banging the big old drums there in Quebec. And there was one woman in the newspaper, and she said, well, I came from Canada, from Egypt, 10 years ago. I thought I was moving to a democratic country. Why do they want to take my rights away? Well, you know what? We're not taking your rights away, but we're keeping the camel's nose out of the tent. And if you don't like it, this is the general attitude. If you don't like it, go back to Egypt. I'm of that camp. If they come here and they expect their special accommodation. Essentially, maybe it seems draconian. Maybe people will see this as draconian. However, if this is the law of the land in which they decide to reside, you have to adhere to the law of the land. You cannot bring with you your Sharia. But they insist on doing that anyway. They are entitled to do whatever it is their Sharia-compliant religion tells them to do. And we must accommodate that. Now, I told you I wanted to talk about Islam in our public schools. Well, yes, there is an incident in Florida, in Tampa, Florida. Welcome to Tampanistan. Tampistan. Welcome to Tampistan. Mm-hmm. Yep, the Islamic Society of the Tampa Bay area. Pardon me for a second. Sorry, I had to hit my cough button. Yep, the Islamic Society of Tampa Bay area. They want religious observances recognized in the high schools. And they have sent a letter out to these high schools asking that the schools respect their religious requirements to pray on Friday, and that's Juma, to observe Juma. They want the students to be dismissed early from their teaching lessons at 12:30 p.m. for the rest of the day. So that, you know, they can skedaddle there over to the mosque and do their Juma. Jumping Juma! Jumping Juma! Freaky Friday! Yep. Well, that's what Tom Trento calls it. Jumping Juma. Freaky Friday. Well, they got this form. And it is, let me see, religious observance early dismissal request form. And this is a form letter that they have sent out to the parents of their little jihadists running around in our public school systems. Under 6A-14 G571 or 0571, religious observances by students, each board of trustees shall adopt a policy to accommodate the religious observance of students pursuant to section 1006-53 under the Florida statutes. The following apply: FS 1002-22CC, absence for religious purpose. A parent of a public school student may request and be granted permission for absence of the student from the school for religious instruction on religious holiday in accordance to the provisions, and it goes on again. School Board Policy 5-27. Establish such a policy and state that a student so excused shall be excused for examination, study, or work assignments at such a time for observance of religious holidays because the tenets of his or her religion forbid secular activity at such a time. Now, you can see how they have worded this. Yes, they have not come out and specifically said Islamic religious observances. No, it's very, very broadly worded. It's meant to include all religions, but of course we know what it means. It means they want their Islamic students excused from classes on Friday so they can engage in the Juma at their local mosque. Now, down here, you have you enter your name, you request the early dismissal for your child of this school, of what grade, every Friday to attend and perform the mandatory Friday khutbah, or sermon, and prayers starting at 12:30 p.m. until 3 p.m. Now, this, like I say, it's a little bit of a separated thing going on here. the religious observance, the following, and the school board policy. It's all broadly worded to make it all inclusive, but like I say, it's not. Now, once again, people out there are saying, well, what's the big deal? It's only the Islamic students that will be affected. They're the ones who are going to be missing class, and they're going to be missing lesson instruction. Wrong! Your kids are also affected by this, because not included in this provision, but demanded, is that no new curriculum be introduced during that period on Friday. That's right. So essentially, your kids will be sitting there twiddling their thumbs. No new curriculum will be taught. No tests will be issued. So yeah, it's affecting your kids, believe me. Now, fewer kids in a class means a higher teacher-to-student ratio? No, it just means that they're going to be sitting there regurgitating the same thing. These students are not going to be learning anything new all day Friday. I was listening to Tom Trentel, and one of his panelists brought up a really interesting point that, hey, you know, this is really going to appeal to the non-Muslim kids. Hey, if that's Islam, hey, count me in. I want to be part of this. Hey. So, who knows what's going to happen? Are they going to convert? I don't think so, but they might want to check out the mosque for themselves. I don't know. The boys, maybe. I don't know about the girls. They'll be able to. If they do, they'll have to sit at the back. But once they leave the school grounds, the Muslims go that way, the non-Muslims go the other way. Free afternoon, hey, let's go for it. I don't like this accommodating business whatsoever, and I do not think that it's right. And I'm just going to pop into the chat room. I'm in the studio, but I just want to see if I've got... there was Tommy in there, and hey, Ken, the exceptional conservative. Hello, Ken. There you go. A few people popping in, a few people popping out. So, hi, guys. And it looks like they can hear me because nobody's waving their hand telling me they can't. Carrying on. Like I am telling you, this accommodation has got to stop, but we have to battle the attitude behind it. Because this attitude of entitlement is really getting on my nerves big time. So many examples out there. I have a clip here. I want to share it with you. It is, I don't know if you are familiar with the blonde of YouTube. Don't know if you're familiar with her at all. Hang on. Not yet. Anyway, blonde of YouTube. She is a young lady out of France. She makes the YouTube videos about Islamic entitlement and how she feels about it. There is yet another example of entitlement going on. I'm going to let her explain it to you. It's in French, so I'm going to have to interpret it for you. But I want you to listen to a little bit of it. Firefighters, police attacked. Suburban freedom of expression censored. Anti-white racism, socialist justice. Dimitu, apology for communism. Replacement of our population. France and her flag insulted. Don't touch our freedom of expression. Don't touch my national anthem. Don't stone firefighters, stop religious riots. And this is Blonde of YouTube. Now we got some music going on here. She's just scribing her name, showing the flag of France. Hello. Today is a somewhat different video. Firstly, apologies for the sound quality. I'll explain what's going on. 2 weeks ago, I received a worrying email asking me for help. because he had a big problem. I responded, but no more than that, as I get two messages by the hundreds regularly. So the situation, this young man lives in the north next to the city of Lucz. On hearing the name of this town, one feels like laughing, but knowing what is happening there, it's not funny. So this young man moved there. It started with anti-white insults. It escalated. 3 weeks ago, his wife was pelted with stones in her garden while she was 6 months pregnant. His little brother had also been violently attacked. He intervened, and six of them jumped on him. The result? Both ended in the emergency room. His house has been ransacked twice in 2 days. They destroyed everything, furniture, baby things, crockery. They returned that night to finish the job. The police didn't come because the district is too dangerous. Social services and City Hall know about it. The police know about it. But nobody does anything. So he called me for help because his wife, with all this stress, just lost her baby yesterday. Labor was induced this morning. Her baby was stillborn because of all this stress and the incapacity of our government. I find this revolting because they have no idea of the situation of these people. There are thousands of people like this. But Mr. Valls, Manuel Valls, Interior Minister, he fights Islamophobia with what? If the wife of this man had been called Fatima, you can imagine the huge reaction this would have caused. In all of the despicable media, we would have heard about it everywhere. But as the victim was merely a little French whitey, no worries. I am really outraged. I am close to exploding. When I see Mr. Bales call us Islamophobes to stop the bull, what does Mr. Valls do for all these people who live in and next to these cities, who cannot go out in peace? What does he do for our police? What does he do for our firefighters? Nothing at all, except protect his police, his political police. You know the ones I'm talking about. I'm speaking of the Antifa, extreme left group. They're fascists. Fascists because we love our country as it used to be. We are called fascists. 3-4 of us have no criminal record as they do. But it is we who are dangerous fascists. It's time to put things back in order and do something. Because time for talk is over. Do something. Send in the army. It's not okay to let women live in fear, to let women lose their children because of stress. It's non-assistance to people in danger. The government does not do this, its duty. This has to stop. If they don't know, I can explain it to them. I've got testimonies, thousands of them. But Bells couldn't care less. He is in his beautiful big house in security. He's not worried. Nor are the other clowns in our government. A solution must be found quickly. I appeal to the City Hall, the prefect, anyone, help this young couple. the young man. I spent more than 2 hours on the phone with him. He was in a terrible state. He was close to suicide. We were several patriots trying to talk him out of it. He was also close to going into the city to get himself killed, simply by provoking. And no, nobody will do anything. So stop the bull and do something. And clean up these cities. Stop the blah blah. Talk tests are nice, but there is never any action. As I said before, the time for dialogue is finished. Either they move, or we are the ones who will move you. We cannot let people like this get attacked, end up in hospital, their houses ransacked, their cars burnt, and we remain silent. Well, the police cannot even go there. My little sister called me 3 days ago to tell me that she was grossly insulted because she wears the same thing as I do around my neck, and that is a crucifix. And we are fed up. I am angry. We are all angry. We try to calm people a little on the net, but we will not be able to calm them for 10 years. So he, Val, should stop questioning, let him get to the phone. He is not aware of the situation. All he does is say, oh, well, everything is all in good. You guys are just Islamophobes. You don't love Islam. Yeah, that's it. We're fed up. There are endless problems with Islam. I am threatened. I am on the wall of the Antifas, the ones I call their political police, because their young men are much more violent than we who are considered fascists. Why? Because I defend the police, the firefighters, civilians, the army. But it's your work, not mine. Get your ideas in order. And so, this crime must not go unpunished. A baby is dead. A family is destroyed. And it's just one example amongst many. So, move. That's all I have to say. Move on this subject. So, you can hear the frustration in her voice, too. I'm going to turn it up a bit so you can listen to the inflection. Oh, okay, she's done. But you could probably hear her a little bit in the background. You can hear the frustration in her voice. You can hear she's angry. And, of course, this is a tragedy. This is in France. She is right on, bang on, so many salient points. She brings up where she is. Well, in France, we know what's going on in France. We know what's going on in Europe in general. We see the Islamic no-go zones. The police will not even enter these zones because the crime is so prolific. Now, I had Tim Burton on my program last week. He was talking about the Islamic no-go zones. And believe me, if you're not a Muslim, you do not want to enter these areas because you may just disappear forever. You may never come out. The police, even the police, are too afraid to go into these areas. It's the attitude. They're entitled. These Muslims can beat and intimidate people with impunity and get away with it. We're feeding the attitude. We're feeding their entitlements when we do nothing, when we sit here and do nothing, when our officials, with whom we entrust our very lives sometimes, they are helpless to do anything. The politicians will not get them the empowerment they need to go in and clean house, which clearly, desperately has to be done. The politicians sit on their thumbs, and like blonde lady said, blonde girl, she says, they sit in their mansions. They're not around it. They don't know what's going on because they're not living it. You know, what are we, the unwashed masses? that live it, seeing it around us every day. Politicians, nope. And they have their own security. So they're protected from that as well. It is really sickening to me what these Islams get away with based on. And it's the attitude. They can get away with this. We allow them to get away with it. They build up the attitude. I have a clip here I want to play for you as well, but let me see. I think I've got something else here. I'm not too sure where I buried it. I have a tendency to bury things. Yeah. It doesn't help when you have like 14 million drop-down menus in your toolbar. Okay. But I found it. Yeah, like I mentioned, I had Tim Burton on the show last week, and we highlighted an article he wrote for the New English Review. And he wrote this June of this year. It's called In Defense of the English Defense League, and it's by M. Catt. So you can find it in there. I have it in my blog as well. You can visit my blog, redfoxblogger.blogspot.com, and you just scroll down a little bit. I have it in there as well. Accompanying this article were some really good bullet points. Some proposals, shall we say, that MCAT included in this article. MCAT or Tim Burton, he writes under MCAT. These are bullet points that he took from the American Freedom Defense Initiative in conjunction with Stop the Islamification of Nations. They produced an 18-point platform. It's the same sensible set of policies which freedom-loving groups in every Western country would do well to consider for adoption. Repeal the crippling rules of engagement under which our soldiers are forced to labor. They should be given the freedom to defend themselves and protect their comrades. And yes, we're seeing way too many soldiers being court-martialed in a military tribunal merely for doing what it is they are trained to do, and that is be a soldier. We have to, I'm just going to go off here a bit. We have to stop protecting the casualty of war. War is what it is. It's war. There are going to be casualties of war. There are civilians who are going to be caught in crossfire, but it is war. We have to stop court-martialing our soldiers because they accidentally took out two little kids. That's too bad. They were casualties of war. Grow a pair, government, and live with that. Implement profiling Muslims at airports and in hiring in professions in which national security and public safety could be compromised. Oh, I totally agree with that one. I don't believe in Muslims being hired, say, at the airports, even if they're just there as a greeter, like a Walmart greeter. Hello there, and welcome to O'Hare, whatever. No, I don't want a Muslim with employment anywhere near my airports, nor my bus terminals, nor anything like that, anything to do with transportation. Immediate investigation into foreign mosque funding in the West, and for new legislation making foreign funding of mosques in non-Muslim nations illegal. Well, we actually, I believe, we're not really doing that. We did have something, it's not really the same thing, but we did have issues with the Holy Land Foundation trials in which Kerr was an unindicted co-conspirator in which it was discovered that they were taking donations. Where these donations were coming from, we don't know. Whether they were foreign donations or whether they were local donations with the adherents, say, of a local mosque, but they were laundering the money and they were handing it over to Hamas and Hezbollah over there, which is illegal. This is money laundering they were engaging in. So, yeah, stop the foreign funding, especially of these mosques. Get some surveillance of these mosques. and regular inspection of mosques in the U.S. and other non-Muslim nations to look for pro-violence material. And any mosque advocating jihad or any aspect of Sharia that conflict with the constitutional freedom and protections, it should be closed. I agree with that. And what it doesn't say here, but I will say it for you. Don't give any warning that you're going into a particular mosque on a particular time in a particular day. The FBI made that mistake a little while back when they went to CARE. And they said to CARE, hey, look, we have a bit of an issue with this particular mosque. We're going to go in on this time, on this day, and take a look around. And we're just letting you know out of courtesy so that you do not think that we are violating your rights. So they were being, you know, the FBI, they were being all polite about it. Right on. Okay. Well, what happened? You guessed it. They go to that mosque on the assigned time and date, and the mosque is literally cleared out. Only thing they found were dust bunnies. Isn't that interesting? So you can understand why the FBI has pretty much cut off all ties with CARE henceforth because of this. What else do we have in here? Yeah, revise the curriculum and Islam-related materials in textbooks and museums to describe the Islamic doctrine and history accurately, including its violent doctrines and 1400-year war against unbelievers. Yeah, keep the sunshine and roses out of the textbooks, too. And quit trying to tell us that Islam is a religion of peace, because we know it's not. Quit shoving that garbage down the throats of our children. Thank you very much. Halt foreign aid to Islamic nations with Sharia-based constitutions and or governments. Amen. Forbid the use of Sharia law in any Western court or nation. Amen to that. Implement deportation hearings against non-citizens who promote jihad in our nations. Halt immigration by Muslims into nations that do not currently have a Muslim majority population. This one I like too. I have always been advocating for the halt to immigration from Islamic states. Of course, that's racist. I'm being a bigot. You're being a racist. Well, yeah, I am, because you know what? I think we're kind of full up here, don't you think? In Canada, the Islamic population is sitting around 3%. That's about 1 million Muslims in Canada. 3%, we're creeping dangerously close to that critical 5%. Because when they start getting around 5-6%, like they are in Europe, and higher in some places, this is where you start seeing the noises, the riots, the no-go zones, the Sharia courts. So yeah, stop any further Islamic immigration. We have enough, and believe me, the ones that we have here, they pop out kids like rabbits anyway. So believe me, their population will proliferate. Provide that anyone seeking citizenship in the United States, they should be asked if he or she supports Sharia law, and they should be investigated for ties to pro-Sharia groups. If so, citizenship should not be granted. Now, you know a lot of times they're going to lie. Do you believe in Sharia law? Oh, goodness, no, no, not me. No, no, I don't like that Sharia stuff. No, you keep that Sharia away from me. Meanwhile, this is probably the guy who's going to honor kill his daughter. Immediate cancellation of citizenship or permanent residency status for anyone who leaves the country of his residence to travel for the purpose of engaging in jihad activity, and for the refusal of re-entry into his country of residence after that jihad activity. And I do believe I saved an article here. I did. I saved it. I want to share something regarding this example with you, probably after the 3:45 break. But yes, I do have something immediately related to this point regarding the immediate cancellation of citizenship or permanent residency for those who travel for the sake of jihad. Okay. Investigation of Muslims resident in non-Muslim countries who have obtained naturalized citizenship or permanent residency status to ensure that the status was not obtained under false pretenses. That would be the taqiyya, the lying. No, not me. I'm a good guy. Don't pick on me. Leave me alone. You're violating my rights. Watch my attitude. Designation of the following as grounds for immediate deportation. Fomenting, plotting, financing, attempting, or carrying out jihad attacks. Encouraging or threatening or attempting to carry out the punishments of Islamic law, mandates for apostasy, adultery, blasphemy, fornication, or theft, threatening or attempting to carry out honor murders, forced marriage, underage marriage, female genital mutilation, or polygamy. Yeah, we have to look out for those ones. Polygamy. She's my sister's aunt. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, she's not my second wife. She's actually she's my cousin. Well, you know what? In most cases, they are anyway, aren't they? Free nations should have jihad, as it is traditionally understood in Islamic jurisprudence to involve warfare against and subjugation of non-Muslims declared a crime against humanity at the UN, or to withdraw from the UN and have its headquarters moved to a Muslim nation. That's right. Jihad, as it is traditionally known in Islamic jurisprudence, should be declared a crime against humanity. But do you think the UN will really recognize that? Don't count on it. Legislation should be passed making illegal the foreign funding of Islamic studies departments and faculty positions in our universities. I would go even further than that. Stop the Islamic studies altogether. I'm not saying we shouldn't understand what this religion, so-called religion, this cult, rather, I prefer. I'm not saying that we shouldn't understand what it is. But we know how the studies go. They teach our kids all the nice parts, all the nice things about Islam, the nice passages in the Quran, the nice hadiths and the sirahs. Stop the Islamic studies, perhaps, as we know them. Maybe I should lighten up a bit here. But stop the Islamic studies as they are being taught in our schools right now. This one, the immediate repeal of UN Resolution 1618 and any other resolution that might limit the freedom of speech. And we all know what 1618 is under the UN resolution. We know what that is, don't we, folks? Yes, Resolution 1618 makes it a crime to insult religions. And, of course, that was instituted by the Arab arm of the UN, and we know exactly what they meant. It's a crime to insult religions. In actuality, it's a crime to insult Islam. That is Resolution 1618. All Muslim chaplains in prisons and the military should be thoroughly vetted and dismissed if they have ties to any Islamic supremacist group or if they advocate jihad. The development of energy policies that will free us from dependence upon oil from Muslim countries must be addressed. And I agree. The energy policies they have to be looked into. We have to stop being dependent upon oil from Muslim countries. We have to stop feeding the beast. Every time you go to a gas station, think to yourself, I wonder what I'm funding today. Wonder which jihad I'm funding today. Or am I funding Hamas today? Every time you go to the pumps, ask yourself why your president is not in agreement with the Keystone Pipeline. Ask yourself that. So, like I say, a few proposals from Sion. Stop the Islamification of nations in conjunction with the American Freedom Defense Initiative. And this is from MCAT's article, In Defense of the English Defense League, June 2013, in the New English Review. Okay, you know what? I'm right at the 3:45 mark, 45-minute mark. I'm going to take a bit of a break. I kept hitting my cough button because I got a frog in my throat. The darn thing will not go away. So I'm going to go and play a song. I'm going to get a drink of water. I was listening to this on YouTube. I was looking for something on YouTube, and this came up in the on the right hand side, the slides, the list of other videos. Yeah. Okay. I really need a break. Anywho, that was there, and I thought, I haven't heard this song for a long, long time. I'm going to play that. I forgot how much I love this song. This is 5 Miles Out, and this is by Mike Oldfield. I'll see you back here in a few minutes. welcome back, everybody. And just to remind you, you're listening to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Cal Fritzy. Now, before I took the break, I was talking about the bullet points by Scion. I brought up the one about immediate stripping of citizenship, if applicable, for anyone discovered traveling overseas to engage in jihad. Well, we have that prime example here in Canada. We had a gentleman who decided that he wanted to go over to Egypt and fight with the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, his name was Amir Kassam. He was 26. He lived in Toronto with his wife and infant. He worked as a pharmacist. Now, the Sun Media reported that he was killed while attending a protest in response to the recent civilian deaths across the country, and this is according to the reports. Of course, the DIMI, CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, the state-run media that we love to hate up here, noted that Kassam was visiting relatives when he decided to join the protests in Alexandria. Now, you would think that he was going there to help his fellow, I don't know, he was fighting for democracy. We were hoping, right? That's the way the CBC painted it, that he was joining the civilians in the protest against the Muslim Brotherhood. Well, no, that's not quite the case. He actually went over there with the purpose of engaging in jihad to fight for the Muslim Brotherhood. But that little tidbit was conveniently ignored. Now, if they had done a little more investigative digging, been the journalists that we pay them to be, they would have discovered a few interesting things about Hassan. For example, his Facebook page. There was a little quiz that our little Amir Kassam took. Yes. He took a little quiz. Here are some of the questions. Do you support a law enforcing women to wear the hijab? And he answers, yes. What is the ideology you are proud to affiliate yourself with? His answer, the Islamic Sharia law. Which Egyptian groups do you trust? Those who call for the establishment of the caliphate based on the way pursued by the prophecy, the Islamists. That was his answer, yeah. Those who call for the establishment of the caliphate. Mm-hmm. And that's the Muslim Brotherhood. Bingo. There you go. Mm-hmm. But our little friend, he was even more hardline Islamist. He was much more of a hardline Islamist. And we let him in this country because, get this, he didn't necessarily support the Muslim Brotherhood because they were not Islamic enough for him. No, his dream would have been to see the Al-Noor Party installed in power. That is the ultra-hardline Salafist pro-Sharia group. So, yeah, even the Muslim Brotherhood wasn't Islamic enough for our little friend Amir Kassam. No, but you know what? He probably would have been able to live with the Muslim Brotherhood. So that's what he was doing over there, okay? He didn't go over there. He didn't leave Canada with the sole purpose of visiting relatives. No. He went over there to fight for the pro-Islamic side. That's why they went over there. He left Canada with the intention of engaging in jihad. And by the way, poor bugger was shot. He was killed. Sorry, Amir. Yeah. We're not exactly mourning your loss, buddy. See? As far as I'm concerned, his wife and his daughter, they can stay there. They can stay there. I don't want anything affiliated with him back in Canada. Don't want any of that. Now, I said the theme of the program today is pretty much going to be about attitudes. And yes, I have given you more and more and more examples of the attitude of the Islamist. In Canada as well. You people recall the Via Rail incident. These are when two Islamics, they decided that they were going to hijack a Via Rail train headed out of Toronto to New York. They were going to booby trap it and blow it up, Okay, you know, that the terrorist plot, that was thwarted, thank goodness, by the eagle eyes of CSIS, keeping an eye on these guys, the Canadian Security Intelligence Services. So that was thwarted. Nobody was hurt, thank goodness. However, one of the alleged terrorist suspects on trial by the name of Shahid Essenhire, he does not want to be tried under Canadian jurisprudence, Canadian law. No, he is demanding that he be tried under the holy law of Sharia. Yes. He believes the Quran is superior to our Canadian laws. And he believes that every Canadian should be subject to Sharia law. Mm-hmm. So he wants to be tried under Sharia law in Canada. Oh, yeah. Okay. And he's refusing counsel. He's insisting that he's going to represent himself. Yeah. Shahid Essenhire. Mm. Yeah, he wants to defend himself. He doesn't want to... He's not interested in our Canadian laws, but he was more than happy to take our welfare. Yes. I don't know whether he was at the time, but apparently he was receiving assistance for something. I don't know what. But, yeah, attitudes within the Islamic world, within the West. Yeah, we have the Islamic world in the West. Come on, you have to admit it. We know Islam is a problem. I'm just trying to give you a few more tools of awareness of what's going on around you, the attitudes, them insisting on this and them insisting on that, them wanting to institute special hours in our public schools for their students. Yes. Now, I forgot all about this. This was about a year ago. This took place in Teaneck, New Jersey, where there was a case of Muslims demanding that the school close down for certain holidays. And in this case, this was for their so-called holy month of Ramadan. They wanted the two days. They wanted the schools to close for two particular days during the month of Eid. Of course, they wanted it closed for the beginning of Ramadan and for the end of Ramadan. Now, I have a clip here. It's an older clip, but just to give you an idea, I'm using this as a template, okay, an example. This is old news. We've heard it all before. I just want to jog your memory because it's a template as to what is happening today. I cited to you what's going on in Tampa, Florida, with them insisting that those students be excused from classes early on Friday afternoon and how it does affect your children. This is happening all over, not only in the United States. It's happening in Canada. We're seeing it in our Toronto public schools where the cafeterias are shut down. It's transformed into a mosque. They call it the Mosqueteria because every Friday afternoon, all the Islamic students go there and they pray in our public schools. Yes, and they are still getting away with this, despite the fact that we are trying very dearly hard to stop it. So, please, I do want you to always remember Teaneck, New Jersey. And I will tell you what happened in the end. Here, I'm just going to bring it up for you. And let me see, here we are.
School districts have traditionally identified religious holidays for closing school.
Now a Muslim leader is asking for equal time closing schools on two Muslim holidays. CBS 2's John Slattery has the story from Teaneck, New Jersey.
With North Jersey's Muslim community growing in recent years and Teaneck having two mosques, there is a call for Teaneck schools to observe Muslim holy days and close.
A lot of Muslims living in Teaneck, and it's just natural that we want our holidays to be recognized just as other faith groups.
Waheed Khalid, founder of the American Muslim Union and member of this mosque, says there are 300 to 500 Muslim families in Teaneck. He wants the school district to close school on two holidays called Eids. The first one at the close of Ramadan, and the second 2 months and 10 days later. and he's got support.
I say, why not? We have Christian holidays in there. We've got Jewish holidays in there.
There's even support from this 88-year-old Catholic, from this Russian Jew, and from this man.
I mean, adding a couple of days for the Muslim community, I don't see it as a problem.
New York City schools resolved the issue by giving release time, allowing students to miss class for a religious reason without being marked absent. Teaneck may consider the same remedy, but Khalid says it puts a stigma on a student who misses class, saying it's not sufficient.
That's not good enough. That makes you feel like second-class citizen.
As for now, the superintendent says the school calendar is set for next year. Schools must provide 180 days of instruction. In Teaneck, John Slattery, CBS 2 News.
Teaneck Superintendent Barbara Pinsak said Muslim parents have not come to her to ask for the days off.
Well, in the end, that there were school boards in New Jersey that did indeed acquiesce to the demands of the Muslims to have their days off for Eid. Like I say, a template. This was going on a year ago. It is still going on today. I don't know what to tell you guys, eh? Except maybe take your kids out of public school. Enroll them in private school or teach them at home. Homeschool them. Because the public schools are clearly turning into a cesspool of indoctrination anyway. We see it happening in the universities as well. Quite frankly, I'm sick of the universities. I went to university. I did a 3-year program. I got a Bachelor of Arts in basket weaving. That was many, many years ago. That was way before 9/11. But even back then, the student associations and the various student groups, the political organizations, I really didn't like it, and it did not enrich my university experience by, you know, one inch at all. As a matter of fact, I was left to feel more uncomfortable because of my very strong conservative viewpoints. I was pretty much a fish out of water attending a university, any university, where the overwhelming sentiment is that of liberalism. And we're seeing it even more so today. What do we have now? We have Israel Apartheid Week. Now, that's something I want to share with you, too. You would notice if you saw me in the Blog Talk Radio chat rooms, it would say Red Fox Blogger IAW. Well, IAW stands for Infidels Are Watching. I have it in full spell on my blog. I don't have the IAW. I had to change that because that's a shared acronym with the Islamic Apartheid Week. And I was actually asked a couple of times, are you pro-Palestinian? What? Why on earth would you ask me that? Oh, I just thought you might be because of IAW. Oh, no, no, no! So now when you see me in the chat rooms, it's Red Fox Blogger with Kel. But I do have the full spelling of Infidels Are Watching on my blog, so it's still there. But, yeah, just getting back. I love going on tangents, don't I? The schools, they are an infestation of Islamic infiltration. Absolutely. When I went to university, of course, there were the liberal rumblings. It's worse today because, yeah, we do have the Israel Apartheid Week in our universities now. It's global now, and I am ashamed to tell you that Israel Apartheid Week actually started in Canada. And with that to me, is a dark spot of history for me. I don't want to be known for that. I'm also not proud of the fact that we are also known as the first Western nation to have a mass honor killing, and that would be the Shafia family. You remember me talking about that when they were mass honor killed, the three daughters and the first wife. Yeah, that was the West's first mass honor killing. So, oh, hang on a minute. What? What? What do you want? What do you want? Oh, shoot. All right. What? Well, you're kind of late, aren't you? You won't believe who's here. Yeah. All right. Freya has come to pay a visit, and she wants her food. You're going to interrupt Mama, aren't you? I think you do this on purpose, Freya, you know. But you're lucky you're so darn cute. You know, if you weren't as cute as you were, I would have... Yeah, I know. Isn't that sweet? Yeah, she's a good kitty cat. Eat your foodies. Let Mama get back to work. Mama's working. Okay. She's all good. So, yeah, I don't care for the university experience. I certainly, unless you're going to be like a lawyer or a medical doctor or an engineer or something like that, where you do require that level of training. Okay, fine. But what are these programs? Like I say, my Bachelor of Arts was essentially useless to me. It helped for a little bit. I worked for the government for a little bit. So, I can't say it was totally useless. I mean, I did learn a few things. But why do we have programs like women's studies, philosophy, sociology as a major? No. I mean, these are majors. Students are attending these universities and getting majors in these topics. Why? What are they going to do with them? What on earth would I do with a degree in women's studies? What? I don't know. I call them the MRS degrees. MRS, get it? Because these women in particular, they take these courses and they engage in these majors, and they're actually they're just looking for that engineer husband or the that student who's practicing to go to med school. So these are the MRS degrees. It's very sexist, I know. But hey, it is what it is. I ain't going to deny it. I think that's what it is. So, now that I have totally gone full circle on you, getting back to the crux of my point, Islam in our teaching institutions. Guys, get your kids out of public school. Get them into private school or homeschool them because they are being indoctrinated into something that is false, and that is Islam. Now, I'm noticing that the time is running away from me, and I did want to share one more thing with you. And I didn't mean to be – I wasn't going to be – so clip-heavy, soundbite-heavy today, but it would appear that this frog in my throat, it just will not relent. It will not leave me alone. I was listening to the Jimmy Z show there, of course. I listened to him. He used to do a show. Hang on. It's going to start. No, not yet, not yet, not yet. He does a show 5 nights a week. He's on hiatus because he's working very hard. So he does a show on Tuesday and Thursday nights now. But he was talking about the Million Muslim March, which they have since changed to the Million American March, right? He brought this up, and everybody's heard about this Million Muslim March that's going on. All right, whatever. They're going to raise their arses in the air and you know, pray to Mecca, whatever it is these freak shows like to do. And people are totally upset by that, and of course I don't blame them for being upset. I'm not happy with them because, well, you know, we don't like Islam. We don't like the idea that they're going to be all, you know, crawling all over the place up there in Washington. No, we're not too happy with that. But, oh, and of course, you know, the bikers, the counter rallies, they're going to be, what are they billing themselves as? The 2 million bikers. Okay, so, you know, now that they're going to get in there, and they're going to counter-rally, and it's going to be, you know, mayhem. It's going to be, it's just going to be nuts. Personally, I say, when I was listening to the Jimmy C show, he had this to say about it. I'm going to let him tell you what I feel as well. Hang on.
Facebook and this million Muslim march that's going to happen, apparently, unless something changes. That's going to happen on, what's the date of that? The, 9-11. 9-11-13. And a lot of people are bent out of shape, and I understand that we don't like Muslims, and this is kind of spitting in your face on the anniversary of 9-11, but they're going to be protesting, they're going to be praying, whatever the Muslims are going to do. They're going to be in Washington, D.C. I don't think that there are going to be a million Muslims. I think, and I'm setting the over-under at about 130,000. And so most people on Facebook have been telling me they're taking the under. I've seen estimates of 5,000, estimates of 25,000, estimates of about 50,000. So a lot of people don't think that there's really going to be a bunch of Muslims out there. 50,000 is nothing to sneeze at, but it's not going to be a million of them. Well, there's a group on Facebook, and up to today, I don't think, and I still don't think that it's going to be a huge group of bikers. But there's a Facebook page that is advocating 2 million bikers to show up in Washington, D.C. as a counter-protest to the Muslims that are going to be there on 9-11. And the first time I saw that, I thought, that's a lame idea. That's stupid. Because what are you going to do? The bikers are going to roll up and say, we don't want you Muslims praying. That's not going to be productive. First off, the Capitol Police are not going to let the bikers anywhere near the Muslims because you got to have a permit out there. I don't know that the bikers even have a permit. The Muslims do. And so they're going to be out there doing what they do. They're going to have speeches. They're going to say, we want our rights as Muslims in the United States. And they might talk about Sharia law. I don't know. And they're going to get on their prayer rugs and pray in Washington, D.C. And you're going to see pictures of Muslims praying in Washington, D.C. with the Capitol in the background. And it's going to be offensive. The best thing, this was my idea a couple of days ago, that the best thing we could do, the absolute best thing we could do, is ignore the sons of bitches. Don't make a big deal of it. When you see it on the news, leave it alone. But I know on Facebook and on Tea Party Community, there are going to be pictures posted, and can you believe what they're doing in Washington, D.C.? Who cares?
Who cares? Who cares?
Honestly, you can't stop it. So ignore it. But there are people who are saying, yeah, I'm a biker, I'm going out there. And I've confronted some of those people on Facebook. And I've asked them, okay, what are you going to do when you get there? What are the bikers going to do when they get there? Again, the Capitol Police are not going to let the bikers anywhere near the Muslims. And if the bikers don't have a permit, they're going to be sent away. And all these people are going to be crying about their rights, and they didn't have their rights. And you have to have a permit to protest in Washington, D.C., that's the way it is. And I personally don't have a problem with the permit process because you don't want people having 50,000 Muslims show up and 75,000 bikers show up and you got a riot of magnificent proportion. We don't need that. So my first idea was, hey, why doesn't everybody just ignore them? And then last night I was typing on Facebook, and I realized exactly what we should be doing. We should be praying over this entire Muslim protest. We should be praying that God would intervene. That you've got all these people praying to and acknowledging a false God, Allah. We should be praying that the real God, the God of the Bible, shows up and that Muslims would be saved. And sure, you're going to say, well, that's a long shot. That's never going to happen. You don't know the power of God. Our God is bigger than all the Muslims around the world put together. We should be praying for every Muslim that is in Washington, D.C. on September 11th. First off, you can't stay angry when you're praying for somebody. And we shouldn't be angry. All this anger is not getting us anywhere. This is not something that we can change. This is not something that we can fix ourselves. But God can. God can fix it. No problem for God. So I think that's what we should be doing on 9/11. If these Muslims are showing up for their big protest in Washington, D.C., we should be praying over it. I think some Christians should get on a bus and travel and get on the train, travel to Washington, D.C., and outside of whatever area they have cordoned off for the Muslim protest, stand there and pray for all these people because they're lost. They're lost. They're going to hell. And so we should be praying for them, that they would wake up, that the Holy Spirit would move somehow, some way in Washington, D.C., and interrupt the satanic stuff that's going on among the Muslims. Now, the only thing that would really set me off is, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if Barack Obama showed up and made a speech at the Million Muslim, whatever it's called, the Million Muslim March in Washington, D.C. on September 11th. That would suck. But, you know, I wouldn't be totally surprised. I don't think he's going to do it, but he could. He really could.
Who cares? Who cares?
And, wow. Like I say, he pretty much expressed what I want to say. I mean, I don't want them lifting their arses in our public squares. I don't like that. I put a slide up there. You guys go check it out. All these Muslims praying all over the place. You know, they've got the ass lifting going on. They're kissing their little prayer rugs. I mean, nobody likes to see that. But I think maybe, like, I'm always trying to reiterate to you, think outside the box. How to outsmart a Muslim is not really that difficult, people. It's not a difficult thing to achieve. Like Jimmy C says, they're going to go there. They're going to lift their butts. And I wanted to play the entire. I wasn't going to play the whole thing, but I really did like the ending about his philosophical approach. That you never know what will happen. Maybe God will appear. And, you know, that'd be pretty nifty. It's a long shot, but hey. But, yeah, these bikers, it's not going to do a whole lot. It's just going to be fodder for the mainstream media. And, of course, we know who will be made out to be the culprits. The bikers, of course. So, yeah, let them go there. There ain't going to be a million Muslims. They're not going to garner that many. You know, Just let them go there for a couple of hours, and they'll go home. And we're better off just thinking of ways to beat them at their own game, at their own spin on our legal system. But get your kids out of public school, for goodness sake, all right? Just get them out. Now, remember I was talking about Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer coming to Canada on September 17th, right? They will be, let me see, where are they going to be at? I got their stuff here. For my Canadian listeners, there may still be tickets. So get in touch with the Jewish Defense League. You can find them very easily. Just go on Google. Just Google Jewish Defense League Canada. They'll come. Their website will come right up. And then click on Robert Spencer and Pamela Geller in Toronto. It'll be right there. All the information on how to order tickets is right there. Everything you need to know is there. There's a nice, nifty little Google map there for you, how to get there. Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer in Toronto, Canada, September 17th this year. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. And the theme of the talk is going to be the dangers of Islamic extremism and Western complacency. Ta-da! Right up my alley, guys. Right up my alley. Western complacency. I've been talking a lot about Western complacency tonight, in fact, haven't I? Yes, talking about the blonde girl out of France, when I played her clip. The theme of her presentation pretty much was centered around the government and their lack of action when it comes to these Islamic no-go zones and the havoc they wreak upon the general populace. Western complacency. We, the people, we're not complacent. Not me, not you. Not certainly not my listeners. No way, because I have very smart listeners. They know what's going on out there, and they do things. They create Facebook pages, and they create blogs, and they create radio shows. Because we're not complacent. We see what's going on around us. It's the government that is complacent. Holy smokes. Okay, I am totally right out of time. But I promised you, too, that I would do something regarding, I was going to turn it into a 13-part program. I totally got waylaid by that because I've been kind of busy. And a guest, they kind of interfere. No, I'm kidding, okay? I didn't. But you know what? What I'm going to do, I'm going to let that sit back for a couple of weeks, and then I want to start it all over again. But I will get back to that, I promise, and I will be doing that every Monday. However, there are programming notes that I want you to be aware of, and that is the Radio Jihad Network. There's a show tonight with Vito Esposito at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here. They have shows 7 days a week. They have Andrew Beside on Tuesday nights at 11 p.m. They have the Eliza Jane show. That is the Freedom Quest show at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Wednesday, like I say. Of course, on Thursday, we have the illustrious Gadi Edelman, American Akbar, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Friday, they were without a show for the longest time. And as a matter of fact, they asked me if I would be able to sit in and kind of fill that time slot temporarily until they figured something out. And I said, well, I do a show on Friday anyway. Why don't I just act as a de facto member of the Radio Jihad Network? And they said, groovy, thank you very much. But they have found somebody. Now, I'm not too sure of the time. I think it's 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Fridays, but that is with Dr. Christian. They had their second show last Friday, and I actually called in just to, you know, welcome them to the Blog Talk Radio family. And they are the nicest people in the whole wide world, the two gentlemen. I cannot remember the second gentleman's name because I'm a very bad person. And if he's listening to this in archive ever, he is not going to be too happy with me. But you know what? I will find it for you. Now, on Saturday, too, we have the Usama Dakdok show. He's on at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. I was listening to him on Saturday night. And he came. Oh, before I forget, Sunday, we have the Uncle Dave show. And that's 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Uncle Dave is hilarious. His spin on Islam will have you rolling on the floor. I swear, this man is funnier than all get-go. So try to listen to the Uncle Dave show on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time as well. But okay. I was listening, like I say, I was listening to Usama Dakdok on Saturday night. And, of course, the topic of Egypt came up. We are seeing a lot of strife and tribulation in the Middle East. We're seeing it in Egypt right now. What is going on is just absolutely phenomenally terrible. And what they are doing to the Christians over there, the Coptic Christians in particular, right? Because, you know, that's where Coptic Christians, that's the true Egyptians. Those are the true Egyptians, by the way, not Islam. They are burning the churches over there. And what they're doing is unreal. They're killing the Christians. They're burning the churches. So Usama, in his wisdom, had a brilliant idea, something I could totally relate to. You know what? For every time they burn a church down, we close a mosque in the West. Yeah, it's that simple. Things like that. For every church they destroy, we shut down a mosque. And not just in the United States. Everywhere. Everywhere. We shut down a mosque in Canada. We shut down a mosque in the United States. We shut down a mosque in England. We shut down a mosque in Ireland, and everywhere, all over the West. For every one church, they burn down. Every single country in the West closes a mosque. And I don't mean just close it, like, say, for a week. I mean shut it down completely, clear it out, get them totally out there. Get the mosque shut down. Yep. Just, sorry, you're going to burn our churches? All right, well, say goodbye to your mosque. Don't even tell them you're coming. Just, you know, hey, authorities, I'm talking to you. Get off your asses and do something. Don't even tell them you're coming. Just close your eyes, point a finger at a mosque. Oh, that mosque on 101 Main Street, anywhere. All right, we're going there, guys. Let's go. We're shutting it down now. Brilliant. Okay. Oh, my. I am totally out of time, guys. Gee, where did the time go? I'm trying to find something here, and I can't find it, so I give up. And my apologies to the Radio Jihad Network for not quite getting the names of the radio hosts right. My apologies for that, but I don't know. All right, you guys, I am out of here. But I just want to remind you, just be careful out there and be aware of what's going on around you, because it is mass Islamity. It's mass insanity. Stop the insanity, okay? I want to thank people who are listening to me in the chat room. I want to thank I had Tommy English join me earlier. I had Ken of The Exceptional Conservative. And by the way, he has a show tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, The Exceptional Conservative, with host Ken McClintock. I'll be there. I hope I see you there, too. I want to thank Poppy, who is in the chat room with me. And, of course, I want to thank Jeff Mitchell of the East Anglians EDL Radio Show. He has a program here, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, talking about the issues of Islam, how it is affecting England and the Western world. So check that one out as well. All right, guys. Those of you who listen are, thank you so very much. Oh, I just got my 90-second warning. Goodness me. I thought for sure I was going to run out of things to say. I guess I just never really ever shut up, don't I? All right, guys. Have a great week. I'll see you back here on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, bye-bye. And normally, that would be the very end of the show. But I feel bad because I do not really like leaving things unfinished. And the Radio Jihad Network has been very good to me. They have afforded me a lot of airtime. They have a very gracious host. They have fantastic topics, and they have a new show on Friday evenings, and I totally muffed it up, and I don't like doing that. New show on Friday evenings on the Radio Jihad Network with hosts Dr. Christian and Corey Miller. They are part of the Global Faith Institute. Dr. Christian, he's a popular and frequent speaker and lecturer. He captures audience with his intriguing and incredible story while imparting insight into the Muslim mind and truth regarding the impact of Islam in the world today. Corey Miller is part of the Global Faith Institute as well. He works daily to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ and sound the alarm regarding the reality of the Islamic agenda in America. These are two fine gentlemen. On Friday evenings, you will be able to hear them. I really encourage you to check them out. And also, they are very fun and engaging gentlemen. Very nice, very warm, very friendly gentlemen, too. They made me feel right at home when I called in there last Friday. So I just wanted to end on that and let you know that. Okay, I really am done. Guys, I'll see you on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye-bye.